And he goes on to expand, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Now this is faith. This is the activity of faith that is demonstrated here. It's not literally eating blood. Jews were told never to eat blood. That was Old Testament. Acts 15, it was renewed again. They did not. They were to abstain from things strangled and from blood. Literal blood eating was forbidden. But here Jesus is speaking figuratively. He is saying, I want you to continually live trusting, resting in what the life that I poured out from my body, the infinite life that was in my God-man nature, that you may have eternal life. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church, where we promise to preach the gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel. And day by day, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., we come to you with the message of the gospel here on this station. You can also join us on Sundays at 9:30 for our one-hour church service, and presently this is aired on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Our desire is to bring the message of the gospel to you, and we trust that the Lord will bless it to you. So, our message today is from John's Gospel, chapter 1. We're dealing with the ministry of Christ in his grace to sinners. We have called him the Creator-Redeemer, and this is the marvel of it all, that the one who made the world, the one who made man at the first, has also undertaken to redeem us. And so there on the cross, you have the God of the world being crucified by the world, and the Lord is enduring that suffering to save a people from their sins. All who will come, believe, trust in him will be saved. This is the whole plan, scheme of redemption. We call it the covenant of grace. And I trust that you will listen in, hear the message today, and that the Lord will bring you to personal faith in the Lord Jesus, that you will be saved, that you will be a Christian. Why not? Why can you not be a Christian? If the Lord saved a sinner like me, or as Paul the Apostle said, that if he being the chief of sinners could be saved, why not any other? And of course, this gospel is for Jews and Gentiles. It is not of any particular culture or nationality. The Christian gospel is international. And I rejoice that in our church here, we have people from various and many parts of the world worshiping with us under the banner of the gospel. And I trust that today the Lord will bless you. So stay tuned as we go now to our message from the pulpit of our church, John chapter 1. Christ the Creator Redeemer. Now, when the Lord Jesus took our place as our Savior, he died firstly as a sacrifice. The principle of a life for life. In the sacrificial system of worship, the guilty sinner was already condemned to die. The death sentence is upon the guilty one. And that's us. That's our state by nature. But in atonement, in the work of the cross, the Lord Jesus voluntarily died on that tree that he would pour out his life to give you life, that the death sentence may be removed from you as he took death and was buried under the sentence of death for a time. All of that was included in Jesus pouring out his life. And so you can see that he died as our sacrifice and as our substitute in our place. His life for our life. This demanded that his blood be shed. Now you just think of the wonder of all of this. When God decreed the plan of redemption, Jesus was pure spirit in the presence of his Father, enjoying the glory of heaven. And God found a way that he could redeem sinful men by Jesus taking a body like ours, flesh, our nature, and running through his body would be the blood of life. The body that was united to the divine nature of Jesus. He's now the God-man. His life is not just mere human, but he is the God-man. And he is infinite in power and value. So is his blood. And when Jesus poured out that blood, and I like the word poured, not the word spilt. I know some hymn writers have used that word, and there's nothing bad intended in it, but the word spilt just gives the wrong idea in my mind. There was no accident in Jesus' death and atoning work. He deliberately gave himself unto death, and those nails into his hands and feet, that spear that went up from the Roman spear into his under his heart, out of which flowed blood and water, was the deliberate bloodshedding of the Lord Jesus in our place as our substitute. And he made atonement. Now, atonement is to reconcile. It is to take the stranger to God and remove every obstacle and to give life, peace, pardon, joy. And when Jesus made atonement, all of that took place. So he died as our sacrifice, our substitute, and our Savior. The blood of Jesus shelters us from the wrath of God. Savior Jesus, he saves his people from their sins. We sang that hymn earlier. Probably the greatest illustration we have of the blood of Jesus sheltering us from the wrath of God and freeing us from that destroying wrath is the Passover night when God said, "Put the blood of the Lamb upon the doorposts." And when the angel of death would visit Egypt, looking upon the blood upon that doorpost, God promised, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." The homes without blood had the death mark upon them. The homes with the blood mark were spared to live. The firstborn did not die. Which do you have upon you today? The death mark of Adam's sin and your own guilt? Or do you have the blood mark of Jesus' atoning work upon your heart? When the angel of wrath or death comes, will you have that blood mark upon you? Will you be spared in the judgment on that day? Now in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 7 and verse 14, I want you to see this principle of the blood emphasized over and over here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7. "Into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood." Not without blood. That's the only basis on which we can worship God. Not without blood. "Which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people." Then down in verse 14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Here is this focus upon the blood of Jesus. Now you'll notice the infinite part of this. It says, "who through the eternal Spirit." I've always understood this as the third person of the Trinity. That when Jesus died on the cross, The Holy Spirit was there to minister unto him. Some may take this that Jesus himself is eternal spirit. It's not wrong. But however you interpret this statement, there was on the cross an eternal person in human flesh pouring out his blood so that the life that was in the second person of the Trinity at the throne of God is now brought down to earth, and the life that is in the blood is made available to all who believe on the blood and plead that blood for their salvation. So I'm answering the question, how does the life that is in Jesus get into your heart, into your soul, and give you the gift of eternal life? And of course the answer is by believing on the blood. We are blood-washed saints. We are blood-washed worshipers. We believe in a gospel that in the miracle of the blood of Jesus that saves everyone that calls on the name of Jesus to wash away their sins. Now I realize there's great mystery here, and there is profound things that are beyond our little minds. I want to quote to you a little excerpt from a Scottish preacher, Andrew Bonner. He says of Jesus dying on that cross, when the spear reached the heart of Jesus, the blood was poured out from the very seat of life. The heart and the pericardium were both pierced, and therefore the blood that then gushed forth with the liquid fluid of the pericardium, that's that little water sac around the heart of a person who has just expired, was blood from the warm seat of vitality. Now, what a wonderful way to put it. The blood pouring out of Jesus' body was blood from the warm seat of vitality, life-giving blood. And that's what brings eternal life into our hearts and into our lives. One further statement. And as such, for as the type, so the reality, Jesus did then pour forth his whole soul. Now, did you grasp that? I know it's beyond us, but it's true. As Jesus poured out that blood, he poured out his whole soul, his infinite life. The value, the vitality, the victory of that blood as a sacrifice, a substitute, a savior, so that the death mark would be removed and that blood mark would be upon you if we believe. Every believer rests and rejoices continually in the very blood of Jesus. Now I want to take you to John chapter 6 and verse 53, a passage that may seem something strange. John 6 verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now this is not communion. This is not the liquid that's in communion. We do not literally eat the blood of Jesus. We do not eat the literal body of Jesus. These are symbols. They remain bread, they remain juice, wine, whatever. They enable us to feast on the life-giving blood of Jesus. They help us to live the Christian life on the victory that Jesus purchased on the cross. And in this figurative language, the Lord says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. The death mark is upon you. You are still in your sins. You're still condemned. You are under God's wrath. But if you live looking, trusting, believing in the blood Jesus shed on the cross, you will have life in you. And you will have that blood mark of life. And he goes on to expand, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Now this is faith. This is the activity of faith that is demonstrated here. It's not literally eating blood. Jews were told never to eat blood. That was Old Testament. Acts 15, it was renewed again. They did not. They were to abstain from things strangled and from blood. Literal blood eating was forbidden. But here Jesus is speaking figuratively. He is saying, I want you to continually live trusting, resting in what the life that I poured out from my body, the infinite life that was in my God-man nature, that you may have eternal life. And that's what we're doing as believers, continually trusting. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. That's our union. That's our union with the Lord Jesus. And as we take the cup and the bread today, what are we doing by faith? We are feasting on the life-giving grace of our Savior. And we enjoy him living in us and us in him. Verse 57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. You see this? I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. How do we live the Christian life? On the victory of the blood, on the power of the life that was poured out at the cross, by the transfer of that power from Jesus into our souls as we believe only on him. And by that means, we enjoy life. And verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. There, of course, is the very nature, the human nature of the Lord Jesus that was crucified on that cross. Now, Jesus is also our satisfier because of this life that he pours in. Go over to John 7 and verse 39. This 38, he that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is the life of Jesus in us. This is this miraculous supernatural life that Jesus poured out on the cross. And by faith, as we trust in that blood, there is now the transfer of that life into our lives. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There is the flowing in and the flowing out of the life of the Savior in your heart, in your life. What power it brings, what victory it brings within our souls, and what great blessing. How does it happen? Well, verse 39 explains it. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Here is this life of Jesus by the Holy Spirit ministering, poured into us. And then without turning our Bibles, think of John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And you have that wonderful picture of all the life that comes through that trunk of the vine into each little tender tendril, the branch. And the same life that is in the vine flows into the branch. And then Jesus says, without me ye can do nothing. Abide in me. How do we live the Christian life? Where do we get grace to pray and grace to live in the Spirit? Where do we get
power and victory over the world. It's by abiding in Jesus and Jesus' life abiding in us. This is what satisfies. And if you're living an empty, barren life, there is new life in Christ. And you plead the blood. You claim the blessing of the life that comes through the cross work, the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus. And last thought, Jesus is that tree for the healing of the nations. In Revelation 22, in the midst of the street of it on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That's our Lord Jesus. He satisfies now and in eternity. As we take this communion today, I want these truths to fill your heart. I don't want you to be coming asking, what am I doing? What's this about? It is you believing and saying by faith, Christ did this for me. His life was poured out that I might enjoy life in my soul. And these symbols help me in my believing. They strengthen my faith. They stir my heart in a visual way to come to terms with the reality of these things. Isn't it wonderful that spiritual things can be real? Don't ever think that spiritual things are just theory. They're real. And you can have the living Lord Jesus in all his victory dwelling in power within your soul. So do not settle for a dead religion. Do not settle for dead prayers out of dead hearts. But pray for this life like living water to flow out of your inner being. That's this life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Oh, today let us commune with the Lord with this truth and this knowledge in our hearts.
Thank you for tuning in, joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak, and I hope that you have been encouraged, challenged, and perhaps consider Christ as your Savior. That is the ultimate goal as we let the Bible speak, bringing you the message of the gospel day by day, that you might know the Lord as your own personal Savior. And if I can be of any personal help, give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. The number is 604-576-1091. This is Ian Gallagher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church. Please give me a call and let's settle the matter of your soul's salvation. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and praise God, he can save you. Now, I mentioned our Bible study notes on the book of Genesis, and in chapter 2, we have the whole account of God creating man and woman, Adam and Eve. And as you know, God created Eve by putting Adam to sleep and bringing a rib right out of his side, out of whom God made Eve. And what an amazing miracle of creation. What an act of bringing forth Adam and his wife Eve. And that's the model. That's the model of creation and male and female. Anything else is contrary to God's act of creation and God's model of marriage, home, family. This is God's standard. Now, if you look at verse 24, chapter 2, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So Eve was created out of Adam's side. Being formed out of his nature, they were one flesh. And we have the word therefore. And it's for that reason that man and woman may be married, joined together, and be one flesh. It's from that very model of creation. And God's design for marriage then is the union of one man and one woman. While it is likely that the animal creation was directly created in large numbers, Adam and Eve were the only first pair, and all humanity descended from them. Eve was the mother of all living. And you'll read of that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And so here we have God's ordinance of marriage and God's order of creation. Now, man's gender or a person's gender is determined at birth. It is biological. It is by the order or the act of God's creation. And of course, we know something in biology of the Y and the X chromosomes and how they bring forth male versus female. This, all of it, is built into God's original creation and is God's way of populating the world. And what a marvel that in the world, consistently generation after generation, there has been very close to equal numbers of male and female. And so this is an amazing providence, and it comes right from creation. This is Christian. This is biblical. And any model that departs from that is deviant, is contrary to God's truth, and cannot therefore have God's blessing. And so we have here the biblical order. We have the commandment of God to procreate by male and female. This is marriage. This is God's order. We could go on today to talk about the awful tragedy that we have here in our country where people are turning away from the institution of marriage and also to other various lifestyles that are contrary to God's model. The gospel is a call for men to turn from those ways and to do and abide in God's commandments. May you turn and seek the Lord and call upon Him to bless you today. Now, these notes are available. You can receive them by our website. Go to ltbs.ca, go to Resources, Bible Studies, Genesis, and you'll find them, these PDF format that you can print out and use in personal study, group study, in your home, or even in your church, as we do Sunday mornings at our adult Sunday school hour. So stay tuned as we come now to our final announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.